I felt it right to share this morning a few thoughts on the subject of faith. And you'll find it connects, I think, with what Mark has just shared. As we get on later on in what I'm sharing, it will connect very much with what Mark has just shared among us. Faith, what faith is and what it isn't. I think we need to understand what both things, what faith is and what it isn't. And we're going to look at the life of a lady who is usually eclipsed by her much more well-known husband when we study the scriptures. Her husband's one of the big names of scripture, and so we often overlook his wife. But his wife was a lady who had an insertion in the role of honour in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, it talks about those who have faith. And this lady gets her own mention in that role of honour. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Sarah. So Sarah becomes a lady of faith. Sarah, husband of Abraham. So I call this Sarah a woman of faith. Now, first question is, are people like Sarah born with faith? Is it something that some of us have and some of us don't have? You know, do we have, some have faith and they're able to claim things in faith and others don't? Well, as we look at the life of Sarah, we will find that actually it took her a long, long time to come to faith, to have faith in God. In fact, she was 90 years old. 90 before she could be listed in Hebrews, before she had actually arrived at the point of having faith in God. So, it's not something we're born with. This is something we learn through the school of experience. Faith comes through the lessons life teaches us. So that's where we start. And we start usually, as Christians, being carried along by another's faith. And that's what happens when we first meet Sarah, Abraham's wife. Genesis 12, verse 5. Then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham has just received a word from the Lord that he's to leave the country in which he's living, to set out in faith and go to another country. He's just received that, and so we're told that he gathers up his household, he gets Sarah, his cousin, his nephew Lot, and they gather up their possessions and they set out in faith. Abraham has received the word of the Lord and Sarah going along with it. She's carried along by another's faith. And very often when we become Christians, that's where we start. Maybe we grew up in a Christian home and our parents had a strong faith, so we rely on their faith. Or perhaps it was the person who led you to the Lord and they really believe, so you rely on their faith. That's where you start, isn't it, so often? Or it's the pastor of the church you're in and he seems to have a strong faith, so you rely on his faith. You rely on others. That's where we so often start in the journey of faith. But that's not where God wants to leave you. God wants everyone who follows him to have their own personal faith in him, not rely on others. He wants us to wean us off the reliance on others and learn to rely on him. And that applies to the church faith venture. As Mark has said, the elders, leaders, Pastor Jim, believe that it's right that we should be going ahead with this venture of enlarging this church. And some of you may sit there and think, oh great, that's fine, we'll let this happen, let them be the ones who believe. No, that's not how God wants it. If it's a faith venture for this church, he wants every single one of us to grow in our faith through moving forward in that venture. He doesn't want to leave us passengers. He wants us to grow in faith. While we're thinking of Abraham, Sarah, I want to just mention another person in the story of Abraham, and that's nephew Lot. Lot doesn't get a mention in the roll of honour in Hebrews 11. Sarah does, Abraham does, but Lot doesn't. You see, because Lot goes the way of the world. He doesn't have real faith in God. He sets out with Abraham. He follows along in Abraham's faith. He trusts what God has said to Abraham. And they go to the promised land. But then he discovers, as so often people discover when they're walking in faith, that things aren't all easy. Sometimes things are tough. And in the land, they have a famine. There's no food for the sheep, and they have to move on. So they move down to Egypt. And for a time, they go to Egypt, and God provides for them in Egypt. And Lot sees Egypt. Now, there's something about Egypt which you need to know, and that's you never need to take an umbrella to Egypt. It never rains. It's irrigated by the Nile. The waters of the Nile flow through Egypt, and they provide the water which sustains the life. And so Lot saw that. And he saw how Egypt didn't have to rely on rain. Back in Canaan, there was a famine. Faith wasn't working out quite how he'd expected. It was hard. It was tough going in Canaan. But down in Egypt, they always had water. They always had water because the Nile flows through Egypt. And so when he goes back to Canaan, Lot and Abraham agree that they're going to have to split up. There are just too many of them. The land can't support them. And so Abraham says to Lot, look, you choose which way you go. And Lot looks at the Jordan Valley and says, wow, look, that's just like Egypt. They've got a lovely river flowing through it. They can always have water. I don't have to worry about whether it's going to rain or not. It's like someone today being led out in faith to stand in faith and believe God, but then comes the prospect of a nice, comfortable, regular salary which is going to provide for all their needs, and they think, oh, that's what I really want. And that's what Lot wanted. He went down into the valley. He stopped trusting God, and he trusted the River Jordan to provide for his needs. Well, he doesn't get a mention in the roll of honour of faith because he stopped trusting God, and he's trust like most of us. He trusted what he could see, what he could touch, what he could feel, the things which are around us. So difficult, isn't it, to trust God when we can see a nice, rich valley, fertile valley, seems to provide all our answers. As we go on with this story, we'll find a truth. Lot lost everything because he didn't rely on God. But Sarah gains everything because she did rely on God. So, the message of Lot is, if we rely on another's faith, when that other person isn't there, the one you're relying on, will your faith stand in the times of trial? It sort of did with Lot. But the angels had to go and rescue him from the predicament he's in. God had mercy on him and got him out of the situation, but his faith didn't really stand. He no longer trusted God. Right, the second issue which we're going to discover with Sarah as we go through with her, one, it is one of the great dangers of faith. That's its faith starts in the spirit. We start with the word of God, but we end up in what Paul calls the flesh. We start in the right way, but we end up trying to answer this situation ourselves. That's the trap Sarah fell into. We hear God's word, and then we think it's right for us to fulfill it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, "O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you?" Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? He says, look, you started in faith. You started by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And now what's happened to you? You've listened to these people who've come into your church from outside, and they've told you you've got to do all these sort of works of the law. You know, faith is not good enough. You've got to earn your salvation. You've got to do this, that, and other. Obey this rule, that rule, whatever other rule. And that's the way you're going to be saved. And Paul says, oh, you foolish Galatians. You've started in the spirit, but you've ended up in what he calls the flesh. The natural things, the way we're sort of programmed in a sense, that religiosity, it comes naturally to all of us. Regular sort of religious activities. We think that's good, that's what's making us a good Christian, you know, because we engage in certain things. No, it's not. Faith doesn't operate like that. And Jesus, writing to the churches in seven churches, which are listed in Revelation, had to rebuke the church at Sardis for doing exactly the same thing. They'd started in faith. And he says, you're a big church, you're full of activities. Everybody says, wow, that's a live church, that's a great church at Sardis. And he says, no, you're not, you're dead. Because you're no longer working in faith. You're doing it all yourselves. You know, human effort can run great churches. You can build mega churches through human effort. You know, and you can preach great sermons through human effort. But that's not faith. You know, all these things can be achieved without faith. Paul calls that the flesh. It's where reason starts taking over. We've heard the word of God, and reason starts operating and say, look, you know, that's what God wants, so I'm going to do it now. And that's exactly what happens with Sarah. She's got a crisis of faith. You see, she believes God. Now, don't get this wrong, you see. She believes God, but she has no faith. You need to understand that. You can believe absolutely in God, but not have faith. She believed absolutely in what God had promised to her husband. God has come to her husband and promised that he's going to have many descendants. Fine, that's what God has said. You're going to have many descendants, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through your descendants. She's got that. I don't think for a moment Sarah doubts that. But she also has a problem. She hasn't any children. So how's she going to fulfill the promise? How's the promise going to be fulfilled? You see, God has said, many descendants. She looks at the reality, no children. So how are you going to marry these up? It's even a problem that Abraham recognizes, and he confronts God. Shall we go to Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6? Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And the lovely verse at this point, which is well known, that he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness, or for righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Righteousness is believing God, having faith in God, and it's counted to us as righteousness. That's how we all stand before the Lord. We trust him, we believe in him, and it's counted for righteousness. So we've got the message. God has said to Abraham, look, it's not some servant in your house is going to inherit all your property. You're going to have your own child, your own son, who will inherit everything. That's fine. Sarah believes that. She doesn't doubt that. But years have passed. They've been in the land years, and nothing's ever happened. She's now beyond the age of bearing children. If you work it out, she's actually, when this vision is given, she's 76 years old. She says, I'm just far too old to have a child. Therefore, reason now enters in. And now this is the flesh. Reason, the enemy of faith. She concludes that to fulfill God's promise, Abraham is going to have to have a child by someone else. This is what reason tells us. She's far too old. 76 is too old to start having children. Therefore, to fulfill God's promise, someone else is going to have to bear the child. And that's where we have the story of Hagar and Ishmael. And the whole world suffered ever since for that piece of reason, for that operation of the flesh, which is not faith. We are still suffering to this present day. She had Ishmael. So they began, and it is sad that Abraham goes along with her plan and listens to her, and he goes along with it. They begin in the spirit with the word of God, but they did not wait for God to show how he's going to fulfill his promise. And you say, I'm being harsh, you know, you shouldn't criticize them. They have waited years, years and years and years for God to fulfill his promise. Surely they had to conclude that they had to do something to help God along. True faith recognizes that it's God's work, in God's way, in God's time. We don't have to help him out. He doesn't need it, and that's what Sarah's going to have to learn. So an enemy of real faith is half listening. We've got the message, part of the message of God, but then we think we're going to have to fulfill it in our own way. We're going to have to do our own thing to help fulfill it. And that's an enemy of real faith. And it's what the Bible calls the flesh. So one, we must recognize that God does not want us to be left being carried along by someone else's faith. He wants each of us to have our own real faith in him. Two, we must beware the temptation to sort of hear the word of God, but then end up within the flesh trying to answer what God is saying in our own strength. And the third point is recognizing the impossible. And we learn that lesson from Sarah. It's not a bad thing to recognize what God is asking is impossible. Now, some of you who know the story and what's going to come will think at this point Sarah really goes off the rails because she laughs at God. And I don't recommend that. You don't want to laugh at God, but she did. Another 13 years have passed after the birth of Ishmael. So now she's getting even older. No, 76. Now she's 89. You know, it's really getting a hopeless situation. And again, God comes to Abraham. Genesis 17, verses 15 to 17, we'll read. Genesis 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she'll be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So we've gone on. We've had a promise of God to Abraham that he'll have descendants. He had a promise that he's going to be given this land to live in and his descendants will live there. He's now been told very specifically that this descendant will come through Sarah. 90-year-old Sarah is going to have the baby, which will fulfill God's word. And Abraham laughs. He says, God, that's ridiculous. Look at me. I'm 100. I've given up hope of having family now. Look, it's ridiculous. And so Abraham, again, he hasn't got very far in the journey of faith, really, because he comes back to God and he proposes the solution which the flesh had sorted out. In the flesh he had had Ishmael. And he says to God, look, let Ishmael be the heir. I'm quite happy with that. Let Ishmael be the heir. Now, that's how we sorted it out. That's how we solved the problem. We're very happy with that solution. Ishmael's a good lad. He'll be all right. But God says to him, no. That's all he says, no. That's not the way I decide it's going to happen. Ishmael, yes, I'll bless Ishmael. Ishmael will become a great nation, and I will be with him. But no, that's not the solution I'm talking about. I said Sarah, and I mean Sarah. And that's it. That's the end of the matter. I've spoken on it. So Abraham and Sarah are so like us. We believe we have the word of God. We believe we know what God wants, and then we try and sort it all out ourselves. And we wonder why it doesn't work. Well, that's just the same as Abraham and Sarah. We all go through this. We learn faith through experience. We learn to trust God by trusting him. Real faith requires us both listening to the word of God and obeying God. Not going our own way, really listening and working, hearing from him how we need to obey him. I've often heard people say something like, I've prayed for this thing and now I'm standing in faith that God will answer. And I have to say, no, that's not faith. You've prayed for this thing, praise the Lord. You have a very loving Heavenly Father who cares for you and loves to answer your prayers. And maybe he will grant you your prayer. Praise the Lord. He does answer our prayers. It's a wonderful thing to be able to testify to the number of times God answers his prayers because he loves us. He knows all about us. He knows our needs. But that is not faith in terms of what the Bible means by faith. It is faith in the sense it's trusting in a loving Father who cares for you. And he really does care for you as an individual. You're precious to him. You're his son. You're his daughter. He wants the best for you. He wants to bless you, just as he wanted to bless Abraham and Sarah. But that's not really what the Bible means by faith. Praying for something and standing for it. No, we pray and we trust our Heavenly Father who loves us to grant us our prayers and guide us in how he's going to bless us. Faith starts with God. It starts with his word. It's hearing what he has to say. That's when Mark talked about needing a prophetic ministry within the church. We hear what God wants to say through the Bible, and there are many wonderful promises in the Bible which God will honor. Because that's his word. And we can hear what God wants to say through the prophetic ministry of the church. Any spoken prophecy in the church has to be weighed and evaluated and judged. But if the church believes it's the word of God, then we can believe it's the word of God. And praise God, he has the ministry of prophecy within his church today. And it can guide us and help us. But faith starts with the word of God. It's got to start with what God has said, not what we want, what God says. And faith is believing that God can accomplish his word. It believes him and doesn't doubt. In Genesis 18, 1 to 5, God appears to Abraham, 1 to 15, sorry, Abraham again. And he repeats his promise of a son. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you've come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. So we've got to the point in the story that God, the Lord, has now revealed his will. He's revealed what his will is. He's revealed how his will is going to be fulfilled. And he's revealed when this will come about. And at this point, the person who has faith should start rejoicing and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because you've got all you need to know. Everything you need to know. You know what God wants, you know how he's going to do it, and when he's going to do it. Praise the Lord. But see, because if you've got faith, that's the matter settled. You can walk away. Praise the Lord. It's done. It may be 10 years before you see the fulfillment. It doesn't matter. It's done. God has said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to do it in this time. That's faith. And faith just walks away and praising the Lord, saying it's done. And it doesn't matter if it's impossible. So what? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Once God has spoken the matter, that's it decided. That's what again and again we read in the lovely book of Isaiah, you know, that God declares, and if God declares, then that's the matter settled. And that's what Abraham and Sarah really had to understand and become people of faith. Initially, Sarah laughs. She should have had everything that she needed from God to trust him and move in faith. But she laughs, just as her husband had a few months earlier. He had laughed. The Lord challenges her on that because she should have known, because Abraham would have shared with her husband exactly what happened, with his wife, exactly what happened. She knew God's response to his laughter and how he had revealed what was in his heart, that he just couldn't see how it could happen. She knew that. But she still didn't believe. And so God has to rebuke her and say, oh yes, you did laugh. You know, how foolish we are. We think we can cover up and tell God, oh no, I didn't say that, or I didn't do that. How ridiculous. God knows everything. He knows even our inner thoughts. We can't compartmentalize our life and say, oh no, I didn't, that bit, you know, I want to hide that bit from you. You know, I'm not really thinking that. Forget that. No, God knows. He knows everything. Don't try and hide from God, because he knows your heart. He will examine it and he will test us. So she had to face that. So he rebukes and he gives that wonderful word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course not. Well, you may think at this point that Sarah's not coming out very well as a person of faith who's going to be listed among the heroes of faith in Hebrews. She's getting it pretty well wrong all the way. She's relied on the faith of her husband. When she has tried to act in faith, it's got it messed up because she's acted in the flesh rather than really trusting God. When God actually sort of specifically states his plan and will for her, she laughs at it and says, oh, rubbish, that can't be right. I'm far too old. Don't be ridiculous. But his rebuke works for Sarah. Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Sometimes we need a rebuke, don't we, from God, to challenge us that we're not really trusting him, we're not really believing him. He has to. We all need it at times. It says in James that his chastening is because he loves us. And it is. He wanted Sarah to grow into a person who really trusted him. And after that rebuke, she does. And she allows him to come into her life. And she allows him to heal her barrenness. And she allows him to let her have a son. So now he can fulfill his purpose in her. Unbelief had to be dealt with before he could work, because God wanted to work a miracle. He wasn't content with Abraham just having a son. He wanted a son of miracle, a son who would be born in faith, a son who was impossible, because this son would be the line through which eventually the miraculous birth of the Saviour of the world would come. So he started the line off in the right way, a miraculous birth to Sarah. He gave her a child. He wanted it that way. The fact that he is working the way he wanted to work threw up a few impossibilities and challenged any sort of sense of logic. Doesn't matter. That's not what was worrying God. He wanted things done in a certain way, so a miraculous birth could birth a line, a hereditary, so that when a second miraculous birth came about, it will be in that line of descent from Sarah. So Sarah's 90 years old before she was able to trust God and really receive him blessing. She had to learn that she could not just go along with her husband's faith. She had to learn it's not for her to determine how God would fulfill his plans. She had to learn that once God has spoken, he can fulfill his word. And the same is true of each of us. He wants to transform each one of us from passengers on the road to faith to believers. From those who think that faith is about what we can do, to those who believe in what God can do. Lot, through going through the way of the world, lost everything. Sarah, eventually coming to faith, gained everything because her name was changed. Now, it's difficult to work out exactly what her name before and after meant, but many think Sarai means my princess, but Sarah means princess of all. In other words, she was the princess through whom the Saviour of the world would come and blessing would go to every nation under the sun. What a wonderful promise that God was giving her in changing her name. Faith starts with hearing, believing the word of God, and faith is knowing that once God has spoken, the work is as good as done. That's what we need to lesson. So, if we're approaching a faith venture, the important thing is not working out how we're going to do it. The important thing is learning how to hear from God, how he's going to do it. And what he wants, it may well involve us in doing our bit. Well, it will, I'm sure. But why we need to fast and pray and why we need to listen to God is because we have to hear clearly what he is saying, the way he wants it to be accomplished, how, when, how he's going to bring people in, how he's going to build his church. All these things we need to listen and listen to him. Through faith, mountains can be removed, people healed, demons cast out, and each of us can enter the eternal city, which was the hope of all those who had faith, who are listed in Hebrews. That's what faith can accomplish. And what the Bible wants us to remember is that once God has spoken, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen.